Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Ouija board in the dorm room. Now, I know what you're thinking. I never believed in this stuff either. We were young and curious students, so we goofed around with it anyway. I must have played with a Ouija board over 20 times. Nothing ever happened. Until some of my buddies and I tried to do it at my fraternity house in Indiana, years and years later. It was Halloween night. I was stone cold sober because I was studying really late for this Spanish quiz I had to take the next morning. I finished up around 3 in the morning or so. As I was heading to my room on the second floor, I walked by room 201. About 10 dudes were huddled around this bar with all the lights out and a candle was burning. They looked all freaked out. Now, when I walked into the room, they had this clear glass upside down and a Ouija board made of cardboard cutouts on top of this bar that they had built in there. It had numbers, letters, yes, no, entry, and exit written on the cutouts. It was laid out just like a Ouija board. I guess you would call it a homemade Ouija board. I swear to God, the glass was moving all around, answering questions. It was moving incredibly fast. That alone was unbelievable to me, so I decided to join in. We were behind the bar. There were two people to my left. One was Brendan from Park Ridge and Mark from Portage. We all put two fingers on top of the glass. First, Brendan asked the spirit what his younger brother's middle initial was. The glass immediately went to the letter M on the board. For no reason, Brendan said, "That's it. I quit." He quickly left the room. I later found out from Brendan that his little brother's name was Malcolm. We were like, "Geez, take it easy." We all felt compelled to play on. A guy named Timmy entered the room with a Bible and attempted to read it, and his eyes started to tear up. I asked him what was wrong, and he said he didn't know. He had this baffled look on his face that I will never forget. Next, a girl attempted to enter the board with us, put her finger on the glass, and she immediately passed out. I mean, she went lifeless and just dropped to the floor within seconds of touching the glass. For no reason, we kept playing with it anyway. All of us asked for physical evidence of something being in the room with us. One person asked if we could have a spirit blow out the candle that was lit. Another guy told us not to do that. We asked why, and he told us that he and a friend asked the spirit to do just that, and it blew out the candle, and after the lights went out, the dude said he was bitten by something. Now, honestly, that kind of scared me, but we pressed on. Then, I will never forget, the guy next to me, Mark, grabbed me and said, "Hey, do you believe in God? You do, don't you? Nothing's going to happen to us, right?" I said, "Yeah, of course I do. He'll protect us, don't worry." We all placed our fingers back on the glass, and we all asked the spirit to blow out the candle. Just then, Mark, who was now the only person to my left behind the bar, shoved me aside. Then he ran on a dead sprint straight into the closet to my right. He knocked his head right into a block room. Boom! We stopped and turned on the light. I swear he was sitting on the floor of the closet in some type of convulsion. His head was shaking around like that movie Jacob's Ladder. Mark was just not pale, but the tone of his skin was totally green. Once again, it scared the snotty out of me, and it scared everyone else too. Mark stopped shaking and swore he was okay, but he didn't want to play anymore. So now, Mark leaves the room. We played on anyway, like idiots. So at this point, there was no one standing next to me behind the bar on my left. I was standing back there by myself while the rest of the guys were on the other side. The next thing that happened was unreal. We put our fingers on the clear upside down glass and it sparked. It actually looked like a miniature lightning bolt inside the glass. I swear I saw it, and so did everyone else around the board. We not only saw it, but it shocked all of our fingers. We continued to ask for the candle to be blown out anyway. Then all of a sudden, I hear this inhuman voice. It was moaning with this weird echo in it. The voice began to get louder and came closer to me until it sounded like it was right next to me. It was on my left side. Then out of nowhere, it actually blew in my ear. I went up against the wall with my shoulder up to my left ear. At this point, honest to God, there was no one left behind the bar to my left-hand side. I then felt something cold and evil walk from left to right, right through my body, and I totally blacked out. When I woke up, it was really freaky. Everyone was around me. They were all asking if I was all right. You should have seen their faces. All of these guys were scared out of their minds. I asked them, "What happened?" They said, "Dude, you flew against the wall with your shoulder up against your ear." I asked, "Did you guys hear that moaning?" They said, "No, what do you mean?" "What moaning?" I said, "That echo, that voice moaning. It blew right in my ear." They all said they didn't hear anything at all. I said, "That is it. I will never, ever play with this crap again. I suggest you guys stop too and don't provoke whatever it is, or else you will be next. Don't you see? It is going right down the line. I don't think you guys should be playing with this stuff. Didn't you guys see the movie The Exorcist? It is how the possession got started. All of it started from a Ouija board. I read somewhere that there were over 40 priests there to verify the story for director William Friedkin. They were all witnesses to the exorcism. I heard it was not a girl, but it was a boy who's still alive today. The spirit entered him when he played around with the Ouija board." Finally, we all stopped, and I never, ever messed with anything like that again. In fact, I never went back into that room, number 201, ever again. Our former fraternity house is now vacant. There have always been rumors that the house is haunted. Since then, whenever it comes up, I've always told people to stay away from Ouija boards. Now I'm telling you guys, a Ouija board is an entry and exit way for a demon or the very devil himself. Since that night, I just understood on my own that it would lie, answer you in puzzles, and it could enter anyone on that board. The demon may decide to stay a while. Thank the Lord it did not stay inside me. Well, to me, it just immediately removed any doubt about life after death or the existence of angels, demons, God, and Satan. But the point of this long story is this. Ever since that night, whenever I see or hear anything like that night, I get a chill running through my body. It always feels just like that thing walking through me on Halloween night. I've always wondered if those guys have had the same thing happen to them. Honest to God, every now and then, I just have a bad feeling not to go in some house or stay in for the night. I cannot really explain it. It's like I have some gut feeling or intuition, and it is always dead on. I used to question it, but not anymore. Ever since that night, it is like I'm a medium or psychic. I can't really say if I've become a medium or not, but I can use this chill as sort of a truth indicator for some scary things I hear, or documentaries I watch on television, or a movie, or something I read about. I'm just telling you, because whenever I get that chill, I know something is up, or something is wrong. It is my instinct, and I always trust it. Stay away from Ouija boards. Never provoke a demon. It will scare you with that ghostly chill for the rest of your life. There were two guys I knew that spent a Christmas break alone at a fraternity. They both heard all of the tables and chairs being thrown around in the basement. Both of them went down there, checked it out, and all the tables and chairs were in their normal positions. Then I spent the night there alone on a Christmas break. I had the scariest nightmare and woke up suddenly and got that awful chill again. 5 minutes later, I hear all of the tables and chairs being thrown around the basement of the house. I went downstairs and there was nothing out of place. I felt a huge chill go right through me. Not only that night, but every single time I speak or even think about the Ouija board in room 201 or the noises that I heard that night. The house with a haunted basement is now vacant. And I cannot help but wonder if someone else experienced the same things we did in 1990. I used to laugh when people would tell me ghost stories because I never saw anything. And I honestly understand why people don't believe in ghosts, UFOs, the devil, etc. But since those two nights at the university, I believe for sure that there are forces beyond our comprehension that are not to be messed with. If there are doubters and skeptics who think this whole story is nonsense, make fun of me and say things like I was either drunk or on drugs, etc. So many people go overboard and get so obnoxious and absolutely mouthy about it too. Well then, on Halloween night, spend the night playing with a Ouija board, but just remember, I advised you not to do it, and never, ever play unless you want to risk something becoming your permanent companion. The seance. 1968, my wife and I bought a new single-wide mobile home in North Carolina. One night, we had four friends over, and after talking about strange events, ghosts, etc., we decided to get out our Ouija board. One of the lady friends had lost a cousin very tragically. We decided to try to contact her spirit by using the Ouija board. After playing around with the Ouija board for a while, we asked if we were communicating with the young woman we were attempting to talk to. The Ouija board confirmed we were talking with her. We didn't put much faith in it, but it was fun and a little scary, much like telling ghost stories around a campfire when we were younger. A while later, we decided to have a seance. None of us knew anything much about doing such a thing, but decided to try it anyway. We turned off all the lights in the dining room, leaving only a dim light burning in the kitchen, giving off just enough light to see each other seated around the dining room table. We all held hands and began trying to concentrate on this young woman whom we had endeavored to contact. I began to ask some pretty basic questions, and then we all got very still and quiet. We continued to concentrate on the unfortunate young woman. Suddenly, everyone simultaneously felt a very strange sensation come into our presence. Everybody jumped up at once and began looking at each other with a sort of bewildered and frightened look. I was really quite upset that everyone jumped up and broke the silence. I asked everyone to do it again, and this time just go with it and see what happens. After sitting down again and concentrating for about 5 minutes, I had the strangest feeling I had ever felt in my life. It felt like my entire soul was being drained out of my body, and some other entity or spirit or something else was trying to take its place inside me. I didn't know exactly what happened next, nor do I know what I did or said, but I woke about 10 minutes later sitting in a chair in my living room. I was crying like a baby. My heart just felt broken, and there was a very real feeling of despair within me. As I began to try and rationalize and understand exactly what had happened, I looked at my wife and friends, and they were in total shock. They were actually afraid of me. They told me that I was talking in another voice that wasn't mine. They never told me exactly what I said, but did say that mostly I just screamed and cried, and that even my personality had changed. I had taken on a different demeanor completely. We never had another seance, and we also threw out the Ouija boards. A few nights after this occurred, by the way, it was a long time before my friends would come back into my house, my wife and I started hearing strange noises in our home. We would awaken at night with all the faucets running at full throttle in our bathroom and kitchen. We would hear footsteps in the hallway. We awoke to find all of the doors, three of them, standing wide open on several occasions. We would find all the cupboard doors open all the way and many other strange occurrences. The final straw was when I woke up one morning and all the gas stove burners were turned wide open on the gas range. All this began occurring shortly after the seance we had performed. Although nothing seemed to want to hurt us, we finally couldn't take any more and sold the mobile home. This was a real event. It happened to my wife, my friends, and me. My wife was afraid of me for quite some time after the night of the seance. She was even afraid to sleep with me. She repeatedly told me, and continues to do so when we talk about it, that after that night, I had taken on a completely different countenance. It was quite some time before she sensed that I was back to normal. Of all the things that I've done in my life, this was the most shocking, scariest, and probably the most stupid. Please don't delve into these things if you don't know what you're doing. It is real. It is dangerous. And I believe it can lead to demonic or other possession in one's body. But I know there's some of you out there that are just too curious and are still going to try it. Just think twice. The Lady in White. Back in December of 1982, my husband and I bought a lovely old two-story house about 1 year prior to the events that I'm going to describe. My husband and children and myself moved into this old house that actually sat on land that once had a house that served as a refuge for escaped slaves through the Underground Railroad. This house was located deep back in the woods in the state of Ohio. I could tell right from the beginning that there was a creepy feeling about the whole place, like a sadness. It's hard to explain, but anyway, on that particular night, it was very cold and there was deep snow on the ground. I was feeling very exhausted as I was pregnant with my son, and he was due to be born in about 1 week. I had a very busy day throughout that day, so I was glad for nighttime to finally come and all the children were now fast asleep in their bedrooms. I was feeling uncomfortable, so my husband was asleep in the next bedroom down the long hall so I could have the big double bed to myself to try to rest easier and get some sleep. My bedroom was on the first floor, close by the bathroom. The children all slept upstairs on the second floor. I had a bassinet waiting for the baby when he was born in my bedroom, sitting right next to the wall, close by the doorway at the foot of my bed. A lot of new baby blankets were folded very neatly and were laid on top of the bassinet. Before I retired for the night, I took a warm shower, then I walked to the back of my bedroom and looked out the window into the crisp, cold night. A bright full moon was shining and casting shadows from the many trees that surrounded our house. The white snow glistened in the moonlight. I slipped into my long flannel warm nightgown and crawled underneath my warm blankets and fell right asleep. After about 2 hours, I awoke suddenly. I opened my eyes and looked down past the foot of my bed, and there I saw very plainly a young lady just sitting in the center of the bassinet on top of the bunch of folded baby blankets, with her dainty hands folded on her lap. I noticed that she appeared to be weightless because, although she was sitting on top of the soft blankets, there was no indentation from her body. The blankets still were in a straight folder order. I mean, they did not sink down in the middle, and the bassinet stood without wavering. The moonlight was shining in my window, and I could see her very clearly by the light of the moon. She was just sitting there looking at me. I looked at her, and I noticed that she appeared to be very solid and lifelike. She was slim and frail, and her skin looked very pale white. Her age, I believe, was young, as she looked no more than 19 or 20. She had a very pretty face that wore no makeup or lipstick or such. Her eyes were light blue, and her hair hung in long golden ringlets to just past her shoulders. She wore a long light blue full skirt dress that hung down to her ankles with long sleeves and high button neck with a white collar and white cuffs on the sleeves. I could see the black toes of her shoes just barely sticking out from underneath her cotton dress as she sat quietly watching me. She had on her head a light blue bonnet with white lace around the brim with a white lace neck ribbon untied and just dangling loose on each side. I was thinking by her dress or appearance she must have been from around the 1700s. After we stared at each other for at least a couple of minutes, I just closed my eyes and drifted right back to sleep. I slept for a few more hours, then I woke up again because I needed to go to the bathroom. When I opened my eyes, I saw she was still sitting there looking at me in the same position and spot. I got out of my bed and proceeded to walk toward the door and right past the girl. She did not vanish or move. She just sat deathly still, looking straight ahead toward my bed. I walked a short distance down the hall to the bathroom. I used the bathroom, and while walking back toward my bedroom, I was thinking that this ghost apparition must be gone by now. But upon entering my bedroom, I found to my surprise the ghostly girl was still sitting there in the same place and same position as before. I walked back past her and I sat down on the side of my bed. As I stared at her sweet, soft, pretty face, I decided to try to communicate with her. So I asked her, "What are you doing here in my bedroom?" To my surprise, she replied in a very calm, sweet voice, "Looking at you." As she spoke these words, her lips never moved, but still I could hear her voice speaking out loud. I asked her, "Why?" She said, "Because I'm lonesome." Then I asked her, "What is your name?" She replied, "Sarah. Sarah Brandon." I asked, "How old are you, Sarah Brandon?" She answered, 17. "Have you seen my Aunt Isabel?" "I can't find her. I can't seem to find anyone that I know. Everyone seems to be gone." I asked, "Who?" Then she paused for a moment and then said, "I'm cold." Then she asked, "Can I sleep with you?" After she asked that last question, I got irritated, then I replied in a stern, sharp voice, "Well, no. Can't you see I'm pregnant? And I'm miserable, and my husband had to sleep in the other bedroom. That's why I'm sleeping alone in the first place." Then there was a pause of silence, as we stared at each other. Then I heard her reply in a sad, quiet voice. Oh. Then she started to slowly fade away, not vanish. She first started fading from her face, like inside outward. Then the rest of her just faded on away, and she was gone forever. I never saw her again. Lady, I grew up in a small town in Indiana. Our house was over 100 years old, and I've been told that it was built from the timbers of an old barn that had stood on the site, so it was probably a lot older than that. While I was growing up, there were always strange noises that we couldn't explain. Doors opened by themselves, and our babysitter sometimes said our house was haunted because they claimed to hear voices sometimes late at night. My sister and I were used to it and actually thought this stuff happened in everyone's house. It wasn't until I got older, like I was in high school, that I realized things weren't normal in our house. One day after school, I was in my room, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the lady for the first time. She had her hair in a loose bun on top of her head. Her dark dress hung to the floor. Her light, long-sleeved shirt puffed out at the shoulders in the style of the last century. When I turned towards her, she disappeared. I saw her another time while I was lying in bed in the morning, working up the energy to get up and go to school. Again, out of the corner of my eye, I saw her leaning in my door to check on me, I guess. At first, I thought she was my mom leaning in to tell me to get up. But when I looked over at her, she again disappeared. I was alone in the house, so it couldn't have been my mom or sister. The one time that I did really get scared was when I was lying in bed one night and I heard footsteps come down the hall. I thought it was one of my parents coming to say goodnight. Except when the footsteps entered my room and stopped by my bed, there was no one visibly attached to them. It felt like I lay there in terror for an eternity, waiting to feel a hand touch my face. It never happened, and I finally worked up the courage to jump out of the bed and run into my sister's room. I had gone to wake her up so that I could have a witness, and because I needed to have someone else to freak out with me. I know how macho. I was about to wake her up when the footsteps came up behind me and stopped right next to me by the bed. I swear I wasn't dreaming. I can still remember how reality seemed to fall apart as I thought about something that I couldn't see obviously standing beside me. I turned around and went back to my bed. I figured if it had wanted to do anything to me, it would have. As long as it didn't write on my face while I slept, I didn't care. I started getting used to the lady. When I was alone in the house, I would sometimes talk to her. She always listened and never judged or offered unwanted advice. She would help me find lost items when I asked her. I actually got a motherly feeling from her. It was like she was watching over my sister and me when our parents were at work. Up until this point, I still thought that the lady was a figment of my teen imagination. That changed when my friends and I rented a cheesy movie called The House. It was about a guy that had inherited his grandmother's house after she had passed away. It was a ghost story. As the guy is moving his stuff in, he passes the dining room, and there, standing on a chair with a rope around her neck, is his grandmother. She tells him to leave the house, and she disappears as she jumps off of the chair. She was wearing a long black dress with puffy sleeves, and her hair was pulled back in a bun. When my sister saw this, she became hysterical. I couldn't understand that first when she kept saying, "It's the lady! It's the lady!" Then it dawned on me that what I'd been seeing and hearing for months was actually real. Without saying a thing to my sister, she had experienced the lady as well. My sanity was validated. On one side, it meant that I wasn't crazy, but on the other, it meant that a ghostly woman was probably following us around. I even heard her say my name once. As time went on, we accepted the lady as a motherly force in our lives, and it became comforting to me that she was there. We never felt alone. Years later, as adults, my sister and I brought our families to show them the old house that had been our home. It was empty and had been that way for quite a while. We wondered if other families had met the lady. I looked in the big picture window into the living room that we had spent so many Christmases opening presents and watching cartoons on Saturday mornings. I swear that I could sense her looking back at me through the glass. I smiled, but felt a little sad for leaving her there when she had always been there for us. I hope that she has moved on and that she has found peace. The lady in the basement. Well, my boyfriend and I rented a home back in 2007. We moved in on the 1st of December with my 2.5-year-old son. The landlord had told us about how an older lady had the house built years ago, and recently, back in July, she was found dead in the basement of a heart attack. We have felt her presence since the get-go. The first scary thing that happened was when my boyfriend, my son, and I were sitting in the living room. All of a sudden, my son points down the hallway and says, "She's sick, Mommy." And I ask, "Who's sick?" And he just points down the hallway and says, "She's sick, Mommy." My boyfriend and I just looked at each other confused. Then my son had a toy truck that mysteriously went off in the middle of the night. I walked into his room, turned the thing off, and went back to bed. 20 minutes later, the thing was going off again. This time, I set it outside and later threw it in the trash. Nothing too freaky, right? Well, this is the one thing that I can't forget. One night, my son was staying at my mother's house. My boyfriend and I were getting ready to go to bed. We turned off all the lights, the TV, etc. We climbed into bed and the only light that was on was our lamp on the side of the bed. I reached over and turned it off. Well, we were cold, so I cuddled up next to him, and right as I did, we heard click, click, and the lamp turned on, right before our eyes. We were pretty shaken at this, and it took a while for us to fall asleep. Well, I did some research and found that the lady's name was Winifred, and people called her Winnie. So one morning, my boyfriend had left for work, and my son and I were in the bathroom where I was getting ready for the day. I heard footsteps, and he heard it too because he said, "Daddy's home." And I said, "No, sweetie, Daddy's at work." And he says, "Winnie's home." I was so freaked out. I couldn't wait to leave for the day with him. We have never said her name around him, so I don't know how he could know that. We also have a spare bedroom, and every night before I go to bed, I will have to remake the bed because every morning it appears as someone has lain right in the middle of it as the pillows are moved and the blanket appears dented in, as if someone had laid very carefully in the middle of the bed. Pretty freaky stuff. I wonder if Winnie just can't let her house go. The Chaser. I live in a large ranch in Texas, and I've heard and personally witnessed some ghost stories. I'm going to talk about one that I've only told to three people about. In 1978, I was with one of my friends named Joe. We were coming home from a party, and it was around 2 a.m. And as we came near an intersection, we noticed a black lady wearing a white long dress walking just ahead of us. As we passed her, my friend asked me to give her a ride, so I pulled over. When I reversed the car, I could see her clearly with my backup lights. I could see through my rearview mirror. When I noticed she was floating towards us, I sped off as fast as I could go. My friend didn't see her floating, so he was asking me why I didn't pick her up, when out of nowhere we heard a banging on his side door. As we looked out his window, we could see her floating beside us. I looked at my speed gauge and I noticed I was going at about 65 miles an hour, and she was still next to us, looking at Joe through the window. Further down the road, she disappeared. When we got to my grandparents' house, my grandma noticed how scared we were, so we told her what had happened. She told us to ignore the frightful encounter. A week later, I was at the house asleep when I got a phone call from Joe's sister. It was 2 a.m. She told me that Joe had just been killed earlier that evening and that they had found his body in his car on that same road at that same intersection where we had seen the lady. My grandmother told me that the lady could have been a warning or a messenger of death. I still get chills when I tell this story. I will keep Joe's last name unknown due to respect to his family. I felt I must tell this story, for it has bothered me and still does. I have never gotten over this, and I am now 45 years old, and that frightful night lives on. The Swing Bridge. This story takes place in Texas. The area is a mostly swampy area along the Sabine River. An old bridge sits near the city limits of Orange. The bridge is old, nearly 80 years old, but it still remains in service. Most in the area know of the woman who was to be put in a mental hospital. She had a child, a 4-month-old baby. She was not willing to give up the child, so she took the child, put it in a basket, and tied it to a support on the bridge. She was hoping she could elude capture and come back for her child when they couldn't find it. Unfortunately, a rainstorm came through and the child's basket floated into the Sabine Lake. When the woman arrived, she was distraught and cried for her lost child. She then jumped off the bridge and was killed, just like her child. Some call the bridge the crying bridge because her crying can be heard late at night. This is where I come in. I like to sometimes wander around with my friends out at the bridge. We'll goof off and fish from it at night. One night, my friend and I went to the bridge to fish. It was a dark night, and we had to use our own flashlights to see the water. It was around 11:30 at night, and we were still trying for a catch when I heard a faint sob. I asked my friend if he heard it as well. He denied hearing it. Again, it came. My friend still did not hear it. Then it became louder and more distinct. My friend this time claimed to hear it. We tried to shake it off, but every sound made us jump. Around 11:45, we decided to head home. Then the sound of a woman crying out came to our ears. We jumped and spun around to see what made the cry. Nothing stood behind us. We tried again to explain it off, but when the cry came again, louder as if to wake the dead, we turned and the image of a sobbing woman in a dress with a child in her hands was standing there before us. As quickly as she came, she vanished. We sprinted to my home, as it was the closest, and burst through my door. We couldn't shake off the feeling that we were followed home, but we eventually calmed down. Though we were calm the rest of the night, neither of us slept alone for several days after that. That same night, though, we didn't even sleep at all. We kept the lights on and never left the house, just in case.